This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Just talked a little bit about Major League Baseball there and the potential for there being a work stoppage in the middle of a pandemic. And there is, every time I read what one of the experts say, they always say, yeah, but I'm optimistic. Okay, let's bring in one of those experts. John Morosi, Fox Sports and MLB Network, joins us here on 97.1 The Ticket. And John, thanks for being with us. Are you one of those guys that's optimistic that we'll have baseball starting as soon as possible, or will this this thing kind of clog it up?
I'm still optimistic, Doug. I am. I think it's certainly a back and forth that's going on right now this week between MLB and the union. We can say that very confidently, that the bargaining is still happening as probably we would expect it to in a normal circumstance, in terms of the dialogue on each side, and certainly the very difficult act of bridging those gaps. But I really think, Doug, there's a deal to be made. It may not seem that way right now, and I realize we're probably about a week away from the deadline, effectively, to have that agreement in place so that way the season could begin. But I am still optimistic, simply because both sides have to realize where we're at right now, the importance of getting the game back on the field when it is safe to do so. And as you see the NHL this week, for example, taking that step forward, I do believe that baseball will realize that from a public health standpoint, there are certainly some safeguards to be put in place. But once you've done that, that the economic side really has to get figured out.
This can't just be the hard line between the two sides where the owner's proposal is either going to be that's it, or the players coming back and saying, no, it's the prorated side. There's got to be more. This just leads to more negotiation, right?
Well, it could, although at one point in time, Scott, I had thought about maybe that this negotiation would set the stage to potentially have a more comprehensive arrangement that sets up the league for the next CBA, which, of course, the current one expires at the end of 2021, and I thought that maybe this could be a more comprehensive way of dealing with the next 5 years. I think that's certainly not going to happen right now. This is all about just getting the game back on the field for the balance of this year. And where I'm encouraged a little bit is that we had heard in the last couple of weeks there was a report about the possibility of MLB asking the union for a straight revenue split, 50-50. And that was not part of the latest proposal from MLB. It was strictly a financial percentage reduction in salary based on where you were at with the different tiers of salary. And so at least MLB and the union, while they're not necessarily close to an agreement right now, they're at least talking about the same general construct. They're still speaking the same language about at least finances, as opposed to going to the 50-50 revenue split. There are certainly, and Ken Rosenthal has mentioned this along with Evan Drellick as well, that the possibility of either lengthening the season or effectively having the full 81-game salary, but playing 100 games, so that way there'd be, I guess, 19 games played for free, effectively, when you consider the salary structure. There are different ways to do that, maybe even salary deferrals as well, but there are solutions, I still believe, Scott, to be had, even though, based on the comments of Max Scherzer last night, certainly does not appear that a deal is close at all right now.
John Morosi, MLB Network, Fox Sports with us, 97.1 The Ticket. If everything goes well, is July 4th a realistic time frame for us to see actual Major League Baseball games?
Yes, it is. I think that is what we're talking about right now, and you could see spring training beginning somewhere around the middle part of June, a 2-week spring training, depending on circumstances, maybe it's 2.5 weeks, but around the first part of July, it could be July 4, maybe it's more towards the middle of July, but that's the general range that we're talking about. I would also say that I'm encouraged in this entire situation, the fact that Major League Baseball facilities are open right now. They have opened up some spring training, some actual home bases like Tropicana Field for the Rays, for example, and players have been working out there this week. And so, to me, that's a very good sign that if there was low optimism, I would not be expecting to see the players in the Major League stadiums working out in small groups, but still in something resembling a team-related context. So that, to me, is reassuring. And I also think you consider the whole sweep of labor relations in baseball, and that while it doesn't feel that way at the moment, this is the sport that has had the longest continuing period actively right now of labor peace. We have not had a labor disruption in a quarter century, and I think while in many ways the current moment is a bit dire, there is still a lot of comfort to be drawn from that.
Well, as Tigers fans, we have kind of low expectations on this potential season, so we always look a little bit forward to the draft, and obviously the draft is a casualty of the pandemic. Was it necessary to drop to 5 rounds? And another question I'll throw in with the draft, that the Tigers take Spencer Torkelson. Is it possible that he could actually make his major league debut with the Tigers this year?
Yeah, great questions on Torkelson maybe being on that fast track. I'll answer that one first. I mean, by all accounts, he's the most advanced college bat, power bat. We know certainly that Miguel is likely to be a DH going forward, so there's a spot for Torkelson at first base. Could we see him this year? It's possible, simply because the dynamics of the season in the minor leagues, really the minor league baseball structure is so uncertain at the moment that maybe, depending on how the playing structure works, the minors, Torkelson would be in something resembling that stay-ready group, the taxi squad, if you will, that's playing games either at a camp situation in Lakeland or in Detroit. And physically, being very close, approximately, to the major league team in that respect, one could imagine him getting up to the big leagues relatively soon. It's a great question. I think it's plausible. We have to just sort of see what everything looks like this year from a standpoint of service time and all those other considerations. But it's certainly something that's within the realm of possibility. And in terms of the draft itself, it was probably two things. Number one, it is a significant outlay of money for teams to sign the players to the signing bonuses, although less so in the later rounds than it is in the first 5 rounds. And the other part is there's just tremendous uncertainty right now, Scott, in terms of what the minor league structure of the sport is going to look like. And different teams have handled their players in different fashions in terms of if they're still going to get paid, if some players are going to get released. There's just a lot of uncertainty as to how many affiliates are going to play, and if so, where. It really is a difficult time for just the overall player development infrastructure of the game, and adding a bunch more players at that time would become a little problematic.
Well, you mentioned the term service time. If it's a shortened season and we're going to put out the most interesting Detroit Tiger lineup, okay, the most interesting one, Casey Mize, Matt Manning, and Tarek Skubal would all be in the rotation. Riley Green would be in the outfield with Daz Cameron. Isaac Paredes would be starting at shortstop or third. Willie Castro would be in the infield. Parker Meadows, like all these, if you're putting out the most interesting team, but because it's a shortened season, do you think that means they'll just park away the Mize, Manning, Skubal group and everybody for a year? Or would they have some of these guys play with the Tigers and we'd get a chance to see them?
Yeah, it's another great question, Doug, because I think that to me is one of the overriding concerns for the team. How valuable will experience be for those players coming up in empty stadiums? Just you think about the debut of a Mize or a Manning or a Skubal and how much Tiger fans are excited about those moments, and for those to be in empty ballparks, just it is a little jarring. It's obviously a consequence of the time in which we're living, but it really is it kind of hits you pretty hard that nobody would be there physically in person to see it. I think that had the season proceeded in its normal projection back in spring training, there was certainly an expectation that Mize or Manning would be there by the end of the year. The Tigers are still obviously quite a distance away from being a contending team again, and so I think from that standpoint, you really do want to be careful with when you bring up these guys and not rush them at all. If they're in the whatever the minor league situation looks like this year and dominating and have nothing more to prove there, I do think because the Tigers had already had that notion of potentially bringing one or all of those three guys up from a pitching standpoint this year, I would say that maybe we would still see them in the major leagues this year just simply because they could get to the point where there's nothing really more for them to prove at the minor league level, and then it would allow them to maybe have a bit of a head start on 2021. But the position player side, Green, Cameron, I think there's still a little bit more time to go for them to really get better. Paredes is an interesting guy, though. I think Paredes, really by all accounts, is a really well-rounded player who I think could be arriving and probably would have been arriving in a more potentially more complete way here in 2020 had the season been going along as scheduled.
As a Detroit sports fan and as a Tigers fan growing up, which prospect intrigues you the most?
It's a great question. I mean, I'm thinking about these guys. I mean, there's so many. There really is a lot to like about this entire group. I think that Manning, with the way that he has progressed and gotten better year by year, I think is a really fascinating pitcher. Just his athleticism and his composure, the command for him is great. Obviously, Mize being a top overall pick is a lot to like with him, too. Scooble is interesting just simply because he was not a really highly rated guy coming out of college. And yet, I've talked to talent evaluators and say this guy might be as good as anybody the Tigers have had in the system. That he, in fact, in the minds of some, might have a better chance at having a great career in comparison to Mize and Manning over the long haul. So of the three, I certainly would probably go more on the pitching than position player side so far, although Riley Green, I've heard a lot of great things about him. Of the group, though, I think Manning might be the most complete prospect right now, but Scooble is certainly a very entertaining guy as well.
Hey, before we let you go, you're quarantined just like everybody else. You're at home with your girls and they can be a big part of, you know, you're trying to do your job, and I've heard them in the background and then some of your other interviews. And your wife works at the hospital. How are things going?
Yeah, thanks, Doug and Scott, for asking. Yeah, we're doing well. The girls, actually, they were like full-fledged. I actually had to take refuge in the basement to try to get a little bit of quiet for you guys. But Lord only knows what I'll see when I get upstairs. But they've been doing great. The girls and I have had a lot of quality time the last few months. My wife is hanging in there. She's done great. I really think, you know, we're all reflecting on our roles as citizens and what we're all doing here. And for me, usually this time of year, I'm traveling a bunch and seeing games, and it's a very fun way to spend my summer. But this is also probably the most important summer I've had in a long time, because by being home and taking care of the kids, I can allow my wife to be at the hospital taking care of patients for about 6 weeks straight. I think pretty much anecdotally, I think every patient she saw was probably a COVID patient. So she really was not in the ICU, but on sort of the next level down from there. So she's been doing incredible work, and really, really proud of her, and just trying to hold the fort here, get a little bit better at cooking than I normally have been, guys, and then trying to stay ready for whenever hopefully we can get back to the ballpark. But I think between now and then, I've got a much more important job here, and I thank you guys for asking the question. I appreciate it very much.
Be honest, though, but during the Zoom interviews that you do, tell me that you've absolutely rearranged some items in your bookcase to showcase some things that you have.
Oh, sure. The girls, I mean, I've got their artwork is on the wall. My 5-year-old Elena made a unicorn out of like a paper design that I've got back there that probably some folks aren't quite sure what that is, but that is a paper unicorn that Elena made for me. So it's been great. They've been actually, I think this morning my 7-year-old is pretending that she's the teacher of our homeschool. So it's been great. We've had a lot of, probably some of Dad's lessons on sports history and trying to work on our Italian a little bit. So the curriculum might be a little different from what it normally is for them at school, but a little bit of art and Dad's background on the Zoom interviews. Yeah, we've had I think as much as you can. You have to find those little moments of joy in the day, as hard as things have been. And so for us, it's been a lot of enjoyment with the kids, but also the real clarity of purpose with helping my wife do what she's doing. So it's I think we're all citizens first right now here in Michigan, and it'll be a great day whenever we all get back to the ballpark.
Grazie.
Hey.
Hey, prego. And when the PSR di parlare con voi. Great job, Scott. Well done, man.
You lost.
Ciao, my friend.
I lost after grazie. John,
I'm Swedish. What do I know?
Appreciate your time. Thank you very much. One quick follow-up. Since you're in the basement and you left the girls upstairs alone, if anything crazy happened, any damage done, please check back with us and tell us what they did while you're on the air with us.
I will certainly do that. I'll give you the update on whatever the answer to the post-game show would be, the post-game interview with the girls about what exactly they were doing when Dad was downstairs working.
That's right. There you go. Thank you very
much, John.
Thanks, guys. Great catching up. Thanks for everything.
All right, John Morosi from Fox Sports and MLB Network with the latest on this work stoppage. And, well, it's not a work stoppage. This negotiation, so there is no work stoppage. We'll follow up with that. Get your phone calls and feedback. 248-539-9797. Text and call the same number now here on Carson Anderson on 97.1.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.